And we'll move on to the last case for today, now this afternoon. Chen against Gonzalez. And who are?
Good morning, Your Honor. Two issues. I think we take issue with the immigration judge and the BIA on two issues. First of all, the judge made a I think the judge made a credibility finding in this case also based on the lack of corroborative evidence. But in this kind of cases, although the persecuting people, the persecutors, acted under the color of government authority, the event was not an official event. It's not documented. Sometimes the judge or the prosecutor or the chief counsel's office representative may say, why didn't you ask for a letter from your parents or from your family members? I think that requirement is superficial, and there's no value for that kind of evidence. In this case...
But what about the girlfriend, though? I mean, there's actually an interesting policy question here. The government has argued that there are strong administrative reasons why one might wish to draw a line between people who are actually married and people who have a less formalized relationship, because difficulties of proof and the like are far more severe in the latter situation. And it seems to me, you know, you have to say there can be no such line, that he is the boyfriend, is able to claim this persecution, even in the absence of a letter from the girlfriend, even in the absence of any kind of evidence from the girlfriend, that he even had an interest in this event.
This petitioner testified at the hearing regarding her current relation, the current state of the relationship between the girl and himself. She did not know. She did not, because they were separated for such a long time, and he was not certain whether she was still his girlfriend or not. But as to the policy issue, I believe there is a case in which the BIA determined that a father cannot rely on the daughter's forced abortion to claim a persecution. I agree with that decision, but in this case, it's not a father, it's not a family member who has nothing to do with this pregnancy. This is the boyfriend-girlfriend. In make a determination, Your Honor, I believe the nature of the relationship between the two people, we should look at the time of the incident,
I understand that, yeah. And it's not that I'm unsympathetic to the idea that biological fathers have some interest in children that they may have. But there is an administrative issue. The law, there's a lot of law actually on this, and it goes in different directions from the Supreme Court. And the question we have really is, for purposes of these particular immigration law purposes, is the government of the United States entitled to draw this line between people who are simply biological fathers and people who have formalized the relationship with marriage?
Your Honor, I believe there should be a line, but my argument, my request is that the line should be drawn wider than the current current determination, and
but
not
your argument has to be that the government is obliged to draw it more widely, because if it's a permissible line for the government, even if it's not the one that I might draw or that you might draw, then we're supposed to defer, are we not, to that line?
It is the petitioner's position that the government is required to draw a line which should cover cases where although two people are not married, but they have a sexual relationship and the result is a baby and there is a forced abortion. I believe the line is easy to draw because there is a direct relationship between the two people, the girlfriend and the boyfriend, and also there is a direct relationship, blood relationship between the aborted fetus. Right. That's the connection. I believe it's not difficult to draw the line. It's not say, oh, the sister of this, the brother of this girl should be able to claim the benefit.
No, I understand that. But just to play the devil's advocate, what's to prevent, you know, every Chinese man, you know, from coming to the United States and asking for asylum on this basis, on the basis of an alleged former girlfriend who had a forced abortion? How can the government follow that up?
That depends on the evidence, the strength of the evidence presented at the trial. Not every man can have such a claim, a valid claim.
Oh. Yeah, not valid, I assume.
If there is solid evidence in the record, the government, the judge should consider giving him asylum. This person is not only claim asking for asylum just based on the girl's forced abortion. Also, in his own right, he was sought by the police after the altercation between himself and the family planning officials. And also, the judge made a finding that he was. The police was after him because he committed disorderly conduct. But we should judge a person, especially this person's actions, within the whole circumstances. He was conscientiously resisting the measure. The measure forced upon his girlfriend, the expression of some anger and even some kind of action against the measure should be understandable. That cannot be said that's disorderly conduct, but of course he just fled the scene. I believe combined his own actions, because the fact that the police was after him, and also the girlfriend's forced abortion in the record, the judge specific asked this gentleman that whether your girlfriend went through the abortion procedure. I think the record established that the girl was through the procedure. That was established. I think combined the police. The fact that police was after him, and also the measure imposed on her, on his girlfriend combined, should give him the benefit. And I believe in refusing to grant him the asylum and withholding of removal or the relief under the UN Torture Convention, the judge committed an error. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Schlieff.
May it please the court, Eric Schlieff, counsel for respondent, United States Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. While the immigration judge supported her decision on two bases, and while her decision can be upheld on either basis, with the court's permission, the government would like to first address Mr. Chen's appeal on the merits. Mr. Chen seeks extension of the Board of Immigration Appeals decision in CYZ. In CYZ, a Board of Immigration Appeals held that the 1996 amendment to 8 U.S.C. section 1101A42, automatically granting asylum to those forced to undergo abortion or sterilization procedures, included spouses in this definition. The government conceded this position based upon an official memorandum issued approximately 3 weeks after enactment of the 1996 amendment. In the instant case, the immigration judge refused to extend CYZ to include boyfriends, such as Mr. Chen, as well as spouses.
You know, I have to say, it's an interesting position for this administration to take. And I'm wondering whether it's an immigration-specific position, or we should expect to see this in the many other areas of the law where abortion comes up.
I'm not in a position to hypothesize as to the government's intention in overall abortion law at this moment. Although,
because these people in particular tried to get married. They sought permission from the local authorities who rejected that permission because they were too young. And then, you know, things happened. So I don't see any real dispute in the facts that he was, in fact, the biological father of this child.
If Your Honor is referring to the role of age limitation in China's coercive population control program.
Well, had they been married, I take it this other decision would have given him the right to assert this claim.
Had they been married, yes, CYZ.
And, right, the CYZ decision would have let him assert this claim. They applied for permission, according to the facts were given, and they were refused because they were below the legal marriage age at that time.
Well, being subject to a marital age restriction in and of itself does not make an individual.
No, I'm just sort of saying they were trying to be legal, and they were not permitted to be legal. Obviously, our age restrictions are much lower than
correct.
Those in China, but it strikes me that they that it was a Chinese regulation that prevented them from taking advantage of the spousal ability to raise this point.
Well, the age limitation is not an independent basis for persecution. Persecution must still be established if a petitioner is trying to receive asylum based upon persecution for not being able to marry at a certain age.
Right. What? Suppose this had occurred. Suppose China, I don't think it has any law like this, but let's suppose China had, in addition, an anti-miscegenation law under which anyone of Han descent was forbidden from marrying people of non-Han descent because the Han Chinese are at the highest level of the social order. And they had been denied permission to marry for that reason. And then she got pregnant. There's a forced abortion. He's trying now to get asylum by being the father. Any difference?
Well, that's not exactly the issue before the court.
I know it, but I'm asking you, I'm trying to find out how far you're going to push this biological fathers have no interest in their children argument.
The government is actually seeking to uphold simply the immigration judge's decision based upon Chevron deference. But
I know it, but all I'm saying is one of the things the government is asking us to accept mm-hmm. is the proposition that even though fathers who are married to the mothers do have an interest in their offspring, fathers who are not married to mothers do not have a sufficient interest for purposes of this particular aspect of the asylum law. That's what you want us to say.
Correct.
Because that's what you've said. And I just want to know how far you're taking that proposition to my anti-miscegenation example or to religious differences or other.
Our position is confined to the facts currently before the court. And if
well, that may not be good enough, though, because you'll come up in the next case and you'll say, oh, well, you know, even though it was anti-miscegenation, he was the biological father, he still doesn't have an interest. I mean, we, unfortunately, perhaps unlike you, don't have the luxury of confining ourselves to the facts of a particular case. I mean, you made an administrative argument in your brief saying, gee, how are we supposed to figure out who all these biological fathers are? I understand that argument. You know, maybe it's a good one, maybe not, but it's certainly a comprehensible argument. Is there anything else? Or is it just the position of the administration that biological fathers don't count?
The position of the administration is that a line must be drawn somewhere under the statute. And it is rational, we believe, to draw the line between those who are spouses and those who are not, because marriage can be proven easily and reliably through objective evidence in most circumstances. Excuse me. And such ease of determination is especially important in light of the crushing caseload currently facing immigration judges and the Board of Immigration Appeals.
Although you're going to get some relief in this area from the new legislation, which has now capped the number of people who can get relief on this basis, right, to 1,000.
I believe that cap has been removed.
Oh, is it off now?
It's off.
It's the other way around. The cap was removed.
Oh, okay. Recently. Well, maybe if the cap's been removed, maybe we should listen to Congress's voice here.
Well, Congress, in the legislative history of the enactment of the Real ID Act that did remove that cap, did not put any indication why they were removing the cap. However, there was a waiting list, I believe, over 7,000 applicants who had qualified for asylum under the 1996 amendment to Section 842, and that could have been just as much of a reason to get rid of the backlog, and Congress did not say. And I believe if Congress thought the 1996 amendment was ambiguous, their best response would have been to amend the legislation to include boyfriends or girlfriends if that was Congress's desire. Otherwise, this court is to provide Chevron deference to agency interpretations.
But counsel, let me ask you this. In this case, the immigration judge made a specific adverse credibility finding, as I understand it. Is that right?
Correct.
Specifically, disbelieved the petitioner's testimony. And if that adverse credibility finding is sustainable, we don't have to get into any of these thornier issues about how far to extend the statute.
Correct.
Is that right? So why don't you tell us why that decision is sustainable?
Okay. Well, the immigration judge found the petitioner's claim both vague and implausible, specifically finding that claims such as petitioner's must be assessed in light of background evidence. The immigration judge specifically found that petitioner's testimony conflicted with available background evidence that was part of the record. And the immigration judge also pointed out that petitioner lacked any corroborating evidence. Also, a new section of the Real ID Act provides that the immigration judge's reliance on lack of availability of corroborating evidence may only be reversed in light of compelling evidence to the contrary. And first of all, Mr. Chen never mentioned the alleged incident with the family planning authorities upon his arrival in the United States. In contrast, he said that he left China because in China the life is bad with no hope or future. And he further indicated that such a hope or future existed in the United States.
So his entry interview contains no mention of the girlfriend and the abortion?
No, none that I'm aware of. He only actually mentioned the alleged incident with the family planning authorities in proceedings before the IJ. Further, Mr. Chen's entire testimony revolved around occurrences with his girlfriend, but he provided no corroborating evidence. There was no evidence the girlfriend even existed. I mean, no pictures, no identification, no affidavit. Because Mr. Chen was represented by counsel, it is likely that if he did have some of this evidence, he would have been encouraged to provide it. The immigration judge found it reasonable to expect this evidence due to Mr. Chen's testimony that he had spoken with his girlfriend both after the alleged incident and before he left China. And since he had been in the United States, Mr. Chen specifically stated that he had talked to her on numerous occasions. And counsel for petitioner indicated that even though it had been a long time, the counsel indicated that Mr. Chen wasn't sure what was going on. But if you turn to his testimony before the immigration judge, he was specifically asked that by the immigration judge, and he said that while he didn't know what she considered him, he still considered her his girlfriend.
I thought he got married in this country.
Yes, he did get married. I believe in 2004 he tried to remove the appeal before this court because he is now seeking citizenship derivatively based upon his now wife's American citizenship. So I see my time has ended. If the court has any
further things, any thought, you're welcome to add it.
That's it. The government will rest on its brief and its oral argument.
All right. Thank you. 2 minutes.
Yeah. I will be very short. I believe the law should not only consider the relationship between the girl and the man, and also should consider the relationship between the father and the baby.
Counsel, before we even entertain that legal issue, we'd have to find a basis to overturn the immigration judge's adverse credibility finding. What's your best argument for doing that?
Yeah, that's as I mentioned at the beginning of my argument, that in this kind of cases, the documentary evidence is not an official event. that there is no official document to document the what had happened.
Well, it's not inadmissible,
also,
is it, counsel?
Hmm?
Your whole argument on this issue of documentary evidence versus live testimony simply goes to the weight that the immigration judge can accord various categories of evidence, not its admissibility, and we defer to those judgments about how much weight.
I understand, but in this case, my position is that the judge unreasonably gave too much weight on lack of documentary
evidence.
So you're
saying there's no document verifying the abortion? The hospital doesn't say, and tonight we did the abortion? Or is there a document that would say that?
I don't know how the procedure is. Usually, if forced the document, actually, I think in the country condition report saying if you can obtain a document showing that official document showing the abortion, that's the abortion is voluntary. Usually, in the forced the cases, there is no document even from the hospital.
Your position would be it would be unreasonable to require a document of a forced abortion because they don't exist.
Right. Yeah, that's my
and
position.
And the State Department reports say they don't exist.
Right. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. The case will be taken under advisement. Thanks to both counsel. We will be adjourned until 9:30 tomorrow morning.